Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where educators go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top leaders across the globe. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Danny Sunshine Bauer.
This is episode number 117 with Rick Jetter and Rebecca Cota, authors of Escaping the School Leader's Dunk Tank. Hi there. My name is Danny Sunshine Bauer. I'm a former classroom teacher and school administrator turned life and leadership coach. I'm also the host of this podcast where each week I share my conversations with top leaders across the globe to help you accelerate your leadership development. In today's show with Rick and Rebecca, we explore a number of interesting topics like what a nuclear warhead experience taught Rick about doing the right thing. The fact that you're going to get knocked down, but you absolutely will get back up. How to take care of not only yourself, but to shepherd your community as well. And the difference between an enemy and an adversary. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. But before we jump into the content, I'd like to take some time to thank our show sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by School Spirit Vending. I know the owner and founder of School Spirit Vending. He is a personal friend and he brings hassle-free fundraising to your school. But even better, Matt has written a top 10 school fundraising ideas of 2017. He's giving it away completely free. Get it at schoolzonepodcast.com. That's the top 10 school fundraising ideas of 2017 at schoolzonepodcast.com. Well, hey there, better leaders. I am excited today to connect with both Rick Jetter and Rebecca Cota. They are educational disruptors. And I'll tell you, we talked about this in the pre-chat. They are coming with sledgehammers today, y'all. So be careful. If you don't have a helmet, put that on for sure. But they're educational disruptors and forward thinkers with a passion to support current and future educational leaders. With their new book, Escaping the School Leader's Dunk Tank, How to Prevail When Others Want to See You Drown, the mission is simple. Break the glass ceiling to eliminate the status quo in order to ensure equity for all students. Rick and Rebecca have faced adversity in their careers and are willing to do whatever it takes to call out the elephants in the educational room so that we all can best serve kids. They are also featured advice columnists for School Leaders Now. Dr. Rick Jetter is currently a national education consultant, author, speaker, and trainer. He previously worked as a teacher, assistant principal, assistant superintendent, and superintendent of schools. Rebecca Cota, NBCT, is currently a K-8 STEM coach, author, speaker, and professional development facilitator. She's the founder of the Digital Native Network and has extensive experience serving as a curriculum specialist, a data and assessment support specialist, and a district technology integration program developer. Rebecca will be relocating to Arkansas this summer to begin a director of curriculum position with the Cabot Public Schools District. Guys, thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
Thanks, Daniel.
Oh, it's awesome to be with you, man.
I am so excited that we set this up, and I love the title of the book, Escaping the School Leader's Dunk Tank, How to Prevail When Others Want to See You Drown, and encourage all the listeners to pick that up for sure. You know, I wonder too, this year as a principal, at times I felt that I had a bullseye on my back, you know, and that could have probably even been the title too. But before we jump into that, can you guys give us a little bit of a background that I may have missed and tell our listeners what inspired you to pursue a career in education?
Sure, absolutely. You know, I've always been surrounded by educators as personal mentors and teachers. And, you know, I kind of always knew that I wanted to be in education ever since I was a little kid. So I just never really considered anything else. I really didn't. And then, you know, I taught in Florida. I taught in Arizona, kind of, you know, moved up into the other positions. And now I am sitting in Arkansas. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, if I'll chime in real quickly, my career went crazy, just like wildfire, right? Like a forest fire. And I had to make a tough decision to put a staff member on leave. And from there, it pressed the nuclear warhead red button, right? And from there, I was at war with my board of education and other people in the district. And I knew I did the right thing. But from there, it was all about survival and keeping my health intact. So walking away from the superintendency has led me to just writing and consulting and speaking. I love every minute of it.
So that nuclear warhead went off, Rick. And did you know it was going to cause such an explosion when you decided that that person had to go?
You know what? When that person is related to Board of Education members.
Ah, the plot thickens. I love it.
You know. That the dunk tank, right? You know you're dunked before you even go swimming, right? But that's okay because I know I did the right thing. And you know what? It's okay because I landed on better ground and I met up with Rebecca and we're writing and speaking and spreading the great word. And it's all about prevailing, right? It's all about prevailing. And that's we are in the business of hope, not despair. And I love every minute of it.
How did you guys connect?
That's a pretty crazy story. I think that goes back to my encounter with adversity. I was working in a district at the district office, and my nuclear warhead started with just going to the wrong person with lunch one day. And I found out it was a person that was disliked. And ever since that day, you know, I was the bullseye. I had that target on my back. And I reached a point where I knew I had to make a different choice. I had to do something different. I wasn't feeling healthy. I was, you know, constantly dealing with anxiety. And I just wasn't being a high performer at work like I normally would be. I totally got sucked into the politics that were at play. And so I reached that point where I knew I needed to do something different. And I also knew I needed to sharpen my own skills and make myself highly marketable. And so that's what I did. I jumped onto LinkedIn, social media, started networking with people. I wanted to know what are those most current issues? What is it that I need to know to make sure that I'm current? And so I did that and connected with quite a few people on LinkedIn. And Rick happened to be one of them. And he was a kind of a power player in education, especially with this idea of adversity and prevailing. And so we had a prototype of the cover come across one day of the dunk tank, or actually he had another book come by called titled Sutures of the Mind. And I was like, Sutures of the Mind, I need to do that. And right on the cover is a picture of kind of like a brain thinking. And it was like fear, anxiety, fearlessness, like all these different, these words that really encapsulated how I was feeling at the time. And I'm like, boy, do I need this. So I knew he was in education and an author, ordered the book. And it really transformed me because it was all about spiritual mindfulness. And it gave me 30 days of just really dedicating myself to really kind of slowing down, introspection, reflection, and just kind of recalibrating. So I reached out to him and messaged him on LinkedIn. And I kind of feel like the rest is history. He had the prototype of the dunk tank come across. And I was like, dude, when that one comes out, you need to let me know. I'm like a first released, first edition. Because that's the one I really need. And we started some dialogue and we really found that there were so many commonalities. And then from there, we started talking to others and interviewing and continuing to realize what an epidemic it was. And one day Rick's like, hey, you want to do this? I was like, you know, that would be pretty awesome.
That'd be awesome. And
so the rest really kind of is history. I didn't even know I was going to be an author.
Right. Wow. What an invitation and what a story. And Rebecca, if, you know, and Rick too, you, at any point, if I am summarizing incorrectly, please correct me where I'm wrong. But Rebecca, I heard you say that just going to lunch with the wrong person, it sounds like that was enough to tarnish your reputation in a school district. Am I hearing that correctly?
Yeah, you did. I mean, and in the book, we address it as guilt by association, because a lot of times we're perceived as somebody that's going to react and respond to situations the same as somebody else that you hang out with. There wasn't any differentiation for who I was in my own moral ethics and character. And I'm supportive of people at every level of walk of life. So, you know, I mean, I will talk to somebody that may be an adversarial person and, you know, kind of gear them in the right direction of, you know, at least moving forward on a continuum of, you know, positive prevailing. So I wouldn't not go to lunch with somebody. And, but at the time I didn't even know it. So it was a complete blindside. So I made a fatal error in my career that I didn't even know that I made until, you know, the story always continues. And so, I mean, it took several weeks down the road to kind of figure out why all the behaviors were happening and the treatment had changed to really realize that, that was the mistake that I made.
Wow. And then I heard too, you know, you read, I think Sutures of the Mind, and it sounded like you started some type of mindfulness practice. You know, you talked about not feeling healthy and knowing you had to do something about it. I wonder if both you guys and Rick, maybe you can start. I'm curious, since you want to share hope, right? And you want these school leaders that are listening right now to prevail and to succeed in their roles, what are some tips and strategies you have for folks to continue to be healthy and how to grow and develop and be successful in their roles?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, Professor Bauer, I got to tell you, man, so Sutures of the Mind was like a book that I wrote while I was healing, right, from my own destruction and chaos, this crazy. Yeah. Chaos all around me, whether it came after me or I was also part of it, right? So it was just this, like, this empire that came crumbling down, this king without a kingdom, right? And then it's like, all right, I'm resigning from this joint because that's it. I've had enough of this. I can't take it. My health is killing me. You know, I haven't seen my family for months. I don't even know what my kids look like anymore, right? So then we cut it loose. And I start writing and I start going in this form of just like solitude and mindfulness. And writing was a form of mindfulness. So I started chucking out these books, right? One after another. I wrote 3 books in 5 months and got them all published within 6 months.
Whoa.
And I was like, wow, this is awesome, right? Like I've got this God-given talent, right? And I don't mean to bring religion into it, but I mean to bring religion into it. So all of a sudden I'm writing all this stuff and I'm feeling good and I'm getting back on track and I'm getting back in my mojo. But all of a sudden Rebecca comes out of nowhere. She's like, dude, this was really awesome. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, number 3 books sold, you know, all the way from Arizona. I don't even think my mom bought one at that point. And it was this whole point in my life where I thought to myself, you know what? No matter how deep the quicksand gets, no matter how deep the ocean gets and you're drowning, no matter how deep the mountains throw you down after you try to rock climb it, you're going to prevail. You're going to get stronger and better. And there's something around the corner that's going to just totally dig your life out into a new direction. And that's how we kind of merged on social media. And then we came up with this concept of the dunk tank. It's like, holy smokes, the dunk tank. It's not just in New York. It's not in Arizona. It's everywhere. And my friends and her friends, and then people started to branch off and social media took off. And we started getting stories from everywhere. And it was at that point where we thought, we've got to do something crazy.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that you did. You know, I'm not at a place to share. I still have to process the experience I went through. But not only was I dunked, I'm pretty sure I was drowned, you know? But yeah. The thing about me is, like, you can't kill me, though. You know, you can knock me down for sure.
Right.
But I'll always get back up. And that's why I love my name, Daniel. And Rick, you said bringing faith into it. You know, you have that parable of Daniel in the lion's den. I mean, he's literally fed to the lions, but he comes out alive, you know. And in, right. in many ways, I relate to that story. And it encourages me about how I have to have my focus, right, to get through those hard times. Rebecca, you know, I'm curious what kind of messages of hope you have for our listeners as well. How can they prevail even though they have that target on their back and they might be getting drowned or they've been thrown to the lions as well?
Well, it's kind of funny because on our website, we kind of think through music. So when you said get back up again, I mean, we threw Chumbawamba up there. So we're like, I get knocked down, yeah. again, up again. So, I mean, a lot of times through music. So we have music up there for just about each chapter. But on a more serious note, we do address in the book the ideological practices, those things that you really can do to prevail. And mindfulness is one of them. But a lot of times, probably the number one ideological practice for me is to depersonalize the individual. And I can even think of somebody currently in my life where I could feel myself getting worked up just a little bit. And I had to tell myself to step back and depersonalize it because that person didn't even know me. They were responding to the situation. And all of these moments of adversity develop from this tiny seed that isn't even personal. But then one thing will happen and then another thing happens and then it will continue to build until it does become something big. And then it's in front of the school board and people are losing their jobs and things are getting rough when really it didn't start out that way. And so some of those ideological practices really, I don't know. I mean, I've even had to go back through and read them myself. But even things like networking with our professional learning network online through Twitter. I mean, just follow the hashtag Joyful Leaders. It's amazing. It's a community of highly effective educators, superintendents down to teachers that really put into practice actively and strategically, constantly focusing on being positive, on branding a message of hope, of trending the positive. So it is all about really embracing this idea of hope and a community of hope and leaders that are working together. And through that, there'll be, you know, all of the content and leadership things that are amazing as well. But when we get stuck, you have a community to turn to with wisdom and experience that'll really help neutralize situations and support, you know, that forward movement of positivity in our profession.
Conferences, piles of flyers, getting stuck in endless email lists and never-ending calls, there's an easier way to sort through and identify the best school fundraisers. School Spirit Vending proudly presents the Top 10 School Fundraising Ideas of 2017. It's a guide of the top fundraising companies hand-picked from the best podcasts. As an added bonus, this guide lists 5 resource companies that would add tremendous value to your community, school, and students. The best part is that School Spirit Vending is giving the guide away completely free. Are you ready to simplify the search? Download the free guide at schoolzonepodcast.com. Well, let me ask you guys this, because we touched on a little bit of a message of hope and things we can do personally to make sure that we're okay, right? But sometimes the dunk tank is so large, it's more like a dunk pool, or Rick, you talked about the ocean. And the environment might be so toxic, it's not just you, the school leader, right, that is in the dunk tank, but it's the whole faculty. And so how do you take care of your people and shepherd your staff and make sure that they get out of this experience alive and healthy and okay as well?
Yeah, you know what? That's an amazing point, because this book is not just for school leaders. And teachers and parents have been picking this thing up off of Amazon. And it's crazy because, right, it's this whole idea of go back to your gratitudes, go back to forgiveness, go back to the tenets that will make you mentally stronger than any adversary that's going to come your way or hold grudges and revenge against you, right? So it's kind of this mind over matter philosophy that we talk about in our book, and we go into great detail about all the things you can do to practice mindfulness, practice calmness, and really get to the crux of who you are that will stand above the enemy. And the thing is, we don't call our adversaries enemies in the book. We call them adversaries because we don't have that venomous tongue, right? We don't have that spitfire that wants to go after people and make amends. We want to just prevail and be strong and be thoughtful and be mindful. And that's the key, right? That's the key to success. I mean, if anything happens to either one of us tomorrow, right? God forbid, we're going to walk away prevailing because we're not going to carry around any burdens at all. Our adversaries might continue to do that.
It's a good point. It reminds me of this story that I've heard. I think it's like a Zen type of story, but there's two monks and they're just walking and talking. One's an older monk and he's mentoring the younger monk. And they come to this river, and then there's this old woman that needs to cross. And so they're facing a challenge because she needs to cross, but there's this rule of like not getting their robe wet or something. So the older monk ends up putting his robe over the body of water, and they're able to walk over, and the robe gets wet, but she doesn't. And he puts her down on the bank, you know, the other side, and she's dry and fine. And the young monk's able to hop over or something. I don't know. But they both cross, and they've helped the woman. And that's the important part. And then the woman does not thank the monks at all for their help, right? She doesn't express any gratitude. And so the rest of the walk, the young monk is asking the older monk, what is with this woman? You know, why couldn't she just thank you for, you know, yeah, being so wonderful and taking care of her and making sure she didn't get wet, right? And the young monk couldn't get past this lack of gratitude. And the old monk tells the young monk, I stopped carrying that woman hours ago. Why are you still carrying her? So that's such an important part that I think, you know, you were just expressing right there.
Indeed. That's exactly what we were talking about. Yep.
Yeah, I would say forgiveness is another huge portion of the book as well. Because you can't keep carrying that. You just can't. There's no way to reach a state of harmony and peace if you are carrying it. So forgiveness is a big piece, even if they haven't asked for forgiveness.
Can you stay there for a second, Rebecca, and maybe offer the listeners just one idea in terms of like how to take those steps towards forgiveness? Because especially when you feel, okay, they're not an enemy, they're an adversary, so we're not as venomous with it, but we feel wronged, right? That we've been hurt and treated unfairly. How do you begin to forgive when you're dealing with such strong emotions?
Yeah, that's a really good question. We have a section in the book where we really talk about emotional driving forces. So you would have to intentionally deconstruct the situation to find out what their motive was. Like, why didn't she thank him? Why didn't she have gratitude? Well, what is her life like at home? What was her childhood like? You know, how did her day go? And you have, and that's part of that depersonalization piece, is really attaching an emotion or an emotional driving force to, you know, why they're acting the way that they are. And when you can do that and then depersonalize it, then you're able to forgive. I know Rick and I had a conversation recently as well, just over an adversary that had kind of come back into the works, because we talk about an aftermath too. I mean, we prevailed, but you know what? There's still an aftermath that's going to still peak up. And it's okay to be angry. It's okay to have the feelings that you have, but you need to limit it for a short period of time. So consciously, I know I'm going to allow myself to feel that way for a certain amount of time, but then I am going to take the time to reflect on it, to depersonalize it, to try and understand why they acted the way that they did, and then try to find a way that I can move myself forward from the learning experience or help them move forward, kind of with the kill them with kindness type of mentality, providing them hope. But it really does take a process to do that. It's not easy to do right out of the gate. But by harboring that and by continuing that walk on the journey and still carrying that burden, it is only going to take time away from students and doing great things and having a positive mindset as long as you harbor that. So if you don't forgive, ultimately it impacts those people in your organization that could be focusing that time on greater things.
Well, before we move into the lightning round, one question I have for you, is there any question you would have wished I asked you? Anything else you want to talk about before we move on?
Oh, that's a good question. Not that I can think of necessarily. I think for me personally, if I could just almost interview somebody that is adversarial, my question would be, do they even know that they are adversarial?
Yes, exactly. Yes. I was just going to say that, Rebecca. You're awesome. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Like, it's like one of those, my personal thinking questions of what I want to know more of. Like, I want to really get in the head of somebody that's the adversary, because our book, the premise has been interviewing people basically that are the victim or that have been victimized by adult bullying, ultimately.
Yeah.
And I'd love to get in the
Rebecca,
mind.
Rebecca, you are so right. I'm like, we haven't even prepped for this, right, Professor Bauer? But we're like in sync,
yeah,
even before we answer. And right, so here's the thing. The thing is this. There are intentional dunkings and there are inadvertent dunkings, right? So how can we reflect as leaders on the daily things we do to make sure that we are not inadvertently making someone feel uncomfortable, right? I mean, so we have to look at the huge spectrum of everything, and Rebecca hit it 100%. How do we reflect with the dunk tank, not only for school leaders, but in every nook and cranny of education or even humanity? And how do we carry that forward and analyze that to reflect on how we can be better leaders and better people? So, you know, just a great, great reflection. She is so in sync. We are, it's amazing how here we meet on social media a while back. We write a book. We go and speak together. And we continue to be just on the same page. I'm just so grateful.
Right back.
To get into this lightning round, just two quick questions to kind of get to know you just a little bit better, not education related. And then we'll leave with a positive message. Rick, what do you do for fun?
You know what? I used to golf. I used to go to the golf course and just spend hours there and drink and golf and have fun and have dinner. And all of a sudden, 8 hours would go by, but now I write. And I write with Rebecca. And it's the most therapeutic, enjoyable, and professional kind of bee's nest all wrapped up into one. And I absolutely love it.
Rebecca, same question to you. What do you do for fun?
I shop online. Should I admit that?
Absolutely. We're all about value and authenticity here. So
yeah. Well, and I moved even further from civilization. So like Amazon is like hot on my street right now with all my deliveries.
So. That's awesome. Hopefully you have Prime and you can get it shipped to you.
I have Prime. That's for sure.
Rick, if you could be automatically good at something, what would it be?
Toasting toast. I always burn it and it smells up the house. It dried, like, if I could just time those suckers out better, I'm in great shape at home.
And Rebecca, if you could be automatically good at something, what would it be?
You know, it sounds crazy, but I have always wanted to be a dancer. I have no rhythm. I have no coordination, like zero. Like I was in show choir in high school and I could sing, but I was the last one to ever even get like a box step. And there's just something majestic about going to a live performance and just the grace and dedication and perseverance that it takes to, you know, be that show quality dancer. And I've always wished if there was a magic wand that could be waved, I could do that.
All right, Rebecca, let's stay with you. And then Rick, same question to you, but what message would you put on all school marquees across the globe if you could do so for just one day?
I know it's super simple and it's probably my theme, but I think it would be that there's always hope. There's always hope, like always. So it's that simple.
Yeah, I like that. You know what? Rebecca and I are writing another book about student voice, right? And tapping into having students lead our decision-making or our reforms. So I would throw on that marquee, don't shy away from your students' perceptions and thoughts.
Well, Rick and Rebecca, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, no, it's truly been an honor. I really appreciate it. My probably final parting words would be, no matter what, do what's right. Don't get sucked in and think that you've got to assimilate yourself to a culture when that culture is going down a burning path. So just always do what's right. Always. I'm on RebeccaCota.com, and from there you can grab all of the information, and then we share the leadershipdunktank.com.
And my parting words would be mistakes and potholes lead to cocoons, right? We're all caterpillars, and butterflies are inevitable. And the starfish that are out there that regenerate, that is what we are all about in education. Anything that goes wrong can go right. And anyone can reach me at rickjetter.com. And certainly, like Rebecca said, leadershipdunktank.com.
Well, better leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel, Rick, and Rebecca. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Rick and Rebecca in the search bar. The show notes page will pop up where you'll get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. Guys, thank you so much for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Thank you, Professor.
Thank you.
Better leaders, just a few more things before you take off. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the show. This helps gives the show some social proof, aka iTunes juice, and encourages new people to listen to the show. If you are a social media junkie, share your biggest takeaway from the show, and feel free to tag me on Twitter or Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. Take the letters, switch them around, and create something interesting and new. That's how I got it. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Do you want to get a short email from me every Sunday where I share the best resources I have come across, links to interesting articles, books, blogs, and podcasts that have challenged my thinking, and a quote that's inspired me and will inspire you as well? If you'd like access to this resource, head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and join the newsletter at the top of the page. Over 1,000 school leaders subscribe, and I think you'll benefit from it too. In the newsletter, I also share when a new blog or podcast comes out, as well as different opportunities to work with me. Thanks again for listening to the show.